G'day folks, and welcome back to Happy Days. This is your pal Jesse on the mic, thanking each and every single one of you for taking the time to listen to my little podcast, proudly brought to you by my very own Freak Productions. If you haven't been to my little website yet, go to www.freekproductions.com and check it out. My little creative world is there for you to check out and support. I've written quite a few books and comics and many more to come. And today on Happy Days, I have the absolute pleasure, honor, privilege of speaking to one of my favorite Australian writer illustrators, Dean Rankine. What a champion. He is an Australian comics artist, writer, and illustrator whose work is synonymous with The Simpsons, Futurama, just to name a couple, right?
But he's so much more than that.
As you discover in this chat, we discuss dealing with anxiety, especially in the public space, at conventions, where he does a lot of commission work. I mean, this guy is busy all day long. He is phenomenal at what he does, and well deservedly that he's as busy as he is every convention. So we talk about dealing with that sort of stuff, but we also talk about his journey, obviously talking about his work on the Simpsons comics, and also we talk about things like working with Australian comedian Magda Szubanski on a book as well, and more recently death metal emo elves, his book that he wrote and illustrated, which is phenomenal. So we talk about, you know, a few different things that hopefully will inspire and will just make for a good conversation for you to listen to on this podcast. And if you haven't done it already, hit the follow button or whatever it is that you have on your app that you're listening to this podcast on. Give it a like, subscribe to the channel. There's like over 50 or more episodes of just really cool conversations. I speak to such a variety of people from all walks of life, you know, celebrities, school principals, artists, you name it, I talk to them, and we'll just share some great happy memories together. And it's a real treat that I get to speak to Dean, because I love talking to this guy. He's always busy to chat, but he always takes time to be kind, and I really tip my hat to this guy. He's one of the good guys in this crazy industry, and especially, you know, for a fairly new creator like myself, it's inspiring to speak to someone in the thick of it that just really has a good head on his shoulders and a good attitude about things. And I love that he created Tom Taylor Bingo. I think that's one of the coolest things ever. So enjoy this episode, and let me know what you think. I appreciate it. Let's listen to my chat with Dean Rankine on Happy Days. G'day, Dean. How are you, mate?
Good. Yourself?
Yeah, good. Good. It's so good to finally chat to you, mate.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been a minute or two, hasn't it? Yeah. So, thanks so much for agreeing to jump on here and have a chat with me, mate. Really appreciate it. And I hold you in high regard as one of my favorite guys in the industry to always chat to and know. So, yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Thanks. It's lovely of you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. So, bro, how was Tasmania for you?
Oh, I haven't been there yet.
So, no, I haven't been there yet.
No. That's
I'm time traveling here.
Yeah. So that's in October.
October.
In a place called Sheffield, which I believe is really small. So I think I'm going to the doing the smallest convention in Tasmania in the smallest town. So
really
so I'm just going, but yeah, they invited me, so, and I said yes.
That's amazing.
So I'll just go for the day, I think.
Yeah, cool.
Fly me and then I'll fly out in the evening, so I'll do a few commissions for some people and have a chat, sign some stuff, and I head back home again. So it's gonna be a flying visit.
It's always a good time when seeing you at conventions, man, because you always see smiling people around your booth. And, yeah, who doesn't love a commission from you, mate?
Oh, thank you, yeah. So for the people who don't know what I do, so should I introduce myself? Should I say what I do?
Please.
Take it away. Hi, my name is Dean Rankin, and I'm a comic book artist and writer, and I've worked on The Simpsons, Futurama, Rick and Morty, Invader Zim. I did a little bit of a thing in Hellboy. I've got Untold Tales of I Hate Fairyland coming out very soon. I've worked on Archie Comics. I have a book called Death Metal Emo Elves
that
just recently come out. And at conventions, I draw people like they're a Simpsons character or put their head in a jar like they're a Futurama character. And it's fun. It's fun. I only do them at conventions. I never, sometimes occasionally someone might convince me, but it has to be pretty convincing. That I'll do one outside of conventions because I like doing them there. I like having a chat with some people.
Yeah.
And I don't get too precious about it. I do my best, but if it, but when I'm at home doing them, I don't know, something that I can knock out in 20 minutes at a convention, I just spend hours on at home.
So, fair.
And I just dislike doing it. So I think it's what I like about it is part of that is that making a connection with someone, having a chat, getting to know them a little bit in the process.
Yeah. I really like the fact that you said that because that's something that that I'd love to sort of pick your brain about because it's a very common thing as we know in today, a lot of people today are very disconnected from the concept of having a conversation, whereas, you know, for guys like you and me, it's perfectly normal, but so many people, there are a lot of people that are just, they're frightened of the idea. So,
I think it's really interesting that you've sort of, guys like you and me, things like, because I'm such an introvert, I love conventions, but I find them really draining. I don't know if you've seen me before a convention, I actually get super anxious.
Once
I've knocked out a couple commissions, I feel a lot better. And then at the end of the convention, I'm just kind of fried. I just can't because it's just not my natural way of being. But what I was saying this to someone at the convention on the weekend because I just did a Melbourne Oz Comic Con. And so I used to be a drug and alcohol counselor. I know this is a weird segue.
I used to be
a drug and alcohol counselor, and I did that for about 4.5 years. So I'm a sort of youth worker by trade. And so what happens sometimes, what I found in the session, so you're there as the counselor, the other person's there as the client, and then something happens that's bigger than you or them. Some kind of magic occurs that's kind of beyond, it's certainly beyond me as a counselor and sort of beyond them maybe of their capacity of understanding their situation, right?
Yeah.
So something happens that's bigger than the sum of us both. And I feel the same, this is going to sound really dicky, but I feel the same way sometimes when I'm drawing somebody. So you're at the convention, I'm just drawing someone head in a jar or something like that, which I know it sounds so innocuous, but I truly believe there's an energy transference that happens that there is a connection because sometimes you're maybe not even speaking. You know, that I'm drawing, they're watching the picture get done, and I think something happens that's bigger than both of us. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I'm not getting too philosophical about it.
I
find it really interesting. I think people go away having a nice feeling that's actually beyond just the picture I've drawn. You know, the picture is fine, you know. Okay. I hope it's fine. I really hope they're fine. I really do my best to do a good job. But the experience of just sitting down and having that connection, I think, is really nice. And nice for me too.
Yeah, I really like that. That's really well said. Because, I mean, I can speak from experience. We did an appearance together at Millennium Comics in Rockhampton not too long ago. Mm. And, you know, I mean, obviously you and Mark Ratz were, you know, busy as always, man, because... who doesn't want to get a commission piece from you? But the thing I noticed mostly is watching the people as they walked away from you. Mm. And I was just watching them just with a bit of a long gaze just to see how they, you know, just watch that energy that you're talking about. And, man, it's incredible just the positive energy that was coming from. You could just see how happy and grateful they were that they had this moment with you.
Yeah.
And, you definitely leave a lasting impression.
I think you're being too kind, overly. I appreciate that. Nice to do. And I mean, I don't know what it is. It might be it's just about, the commissions take about 30 minutes. So they're stuck there. so they have to talk to me. And so it's like, there's no escaping. So you're having a dean counseling session for half an hour or something like that. I don't know.
That's crazy, man. So, so you got a bit of experience in that field with talking to the kids and stuff like that and people in general. So it's interesting when you say about getting anxiety before, you know, convention. I guess it's kind of like stage fright of sorts, isn't it? Like, do you get anxious about meeting people, or is it just anxious about will people like me or not? You know, like, I don't know, if you don't mind me.
It's a really valid question. I'm never quite sure. It's kind of like a plethora of things that you know how like anxiety can be a weird thing because you can't always
put
a finger on it exactly what it is. But I think it is the sometimes like, oh look, you know what? Oh, they've met me. This is a big one. People have met me before. I worry on some level then they're not going to like me anymore, or the minority's going to.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I think they're not going to like me, and also that I'm going to screw their picture up, because it is like drawing at a convention, as you would know, is actually really. Yeah. I find it really difficult, and I have to do it. Like like you're not at home in your studio space. I normally work digitally, completely digitally now, but at a convention, I'm back on paper and marker. And it's so easy to screw it up. There's just like so many things that if they're drawing and they don't like it and they think that that's my perception of them is incorrect, because it's a caricature to a point. And I never want people to feel bad about themselves when they go off with it. So I don't know. It's just like a big bucket load of energy. And I'm always if you haven't noticed, I wear a black t-shirt at conventions because I'm sweating. I'm like, particularly like, you know, I'm peaking before I even start.
Yeah.
Once I get into it, again, once I get my first commission done, you go, okay, that was okay. My first head in the jar, that was okay. I tend to then smooth into it again. You know, like, I go, oh, this is right. Because I've been a guest at maybe, like, I'm keeping a checklist. It's something like over 80 conventions. So,
I've done a couple.
I've done this a fair bit. So I think it's just maybe a process that I have to go through. Like, you know, that it's just part of me. I have kind of a generalized anxiety kind of thing going on anyway. And at a convention, it's very much, I don't know, maybe this is ego, but I kind of feel like I'm in the spotlight a little bit. You know, you've got your banner, you're a guest, you know, you've got people around you watching what you're doing. So you kind of feel like you're a little bit on show. Which I have to say, part of me loves, because like I'm an introvert. Yes, I have anxiety, but I'm a constant praise monkey. So if people are crowded around and want to speak to me, it's just, I feel like princess for a day. I just so nice to have that kind of encouragement as a creative person, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think as a kid, I was a really awkward kind of kid. No surprises there. Kind of talked funny, but discovering art by drawing, that was the thing that I thought, oh, this is what I can do. This is, and I got this kind of praise for that. And as far as healthy coping mechanism goes, probably not a good one, because I still am. I'm searching that for that praise.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's interesting, man, because you got such a wit and charm in your art, and I'm curious, as you mentioned your childhood, like early on when you start creating pieces, did you incorporate that into your art early on, or was that just something that evolved?
I think it's very much my personality coming through that. So for a start, for people who don't know my work, I'm very cartoony. It's very, like, I have a goofy style, which means in some ways you're kind of forced into a way, you have to kind of tell goofy stories to a point.
Yeah.
But also I think about this often, like, the things that I probably struggled with in my childhood by not fitting in, not feeling like I was, you know, right. I didn't feel normal. And that was from all kinds of places. But that kind of quirkiness that has carried on with me is actually what makes my art and my storytelling, I think, unique. And so it's kind of like the things that you struggle with are the things that actually bring good things at the end. I'm trying to think how the burdens you have can actually, I think I've been using them constantly to use those for my own benefit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant. That's really well said, man. I love it because it's straight from the hit, man. You know, like some people when they talk, you know, like even at conventions, man, you do meet some people that kind of speak very, I don't know, almost from a script.
I'm guilty of that as well.
I
did this thing called So Tom Taylor is a good friend of mine. You know Tom Taylor. He's a great writer.
Yeah.
Lovely guy. One of my favorite people. But I did one the convention write up a Tom Taylor bingo. Because when you're next to somebody, and this you could do this type of thing for me as well, we say the same things over and over again because people ask us the same questions.
Mm.
And then I tell my story, like the one story like, so, you know, how'd you get into Simpsons? This kind of thing. And I've told that 1,000 times. I'm happy to tell it again. But it's you do fall into a way of just communicating because it's like if you worked in a shop or something like that. When people ask you the same stuff, you kind of fall into that. So not banging Tom Taylor. I want to emphasize that point, but it was really funny. You could definitely do a Dean Rankin bingo for the things I repeat because people want to ask you questions, but it's often the same question. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you get into cinema?
Yeah. I can do it if you like.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay. So it depends on what emphasis I like to put on it. Okay, so it goes like this. So I was doing these comics for these kids magazines that you could buy at supermarkets like Crash Magazine and D-Mag, K-Zone. I'm not sure if you remember those magazines. Anyway, the work dried up. So I went to my local Coles to see what was there and I picked up a Simpsons comic. I've always liked Simpsons and I've always been a bit of a fan. So, like I mentioned before, I'm very cartoony, so I couldn't draw like Batman, for instance.
Sure.
But I picked up this Simpsons comic, flicking through, all looked really great, but there was one page that was kind of off model and not as good as the others. And I thought, I could just about, if I worked hard, I reckon I could just about do it at that level. I could just about be the worst Simpsons comic artist in this comic, right?
Yeah.
So what I did, so at the time, Bongo, which is the publisher, which was the publisher of Simpsons comics, were accepting online. So you could email them.
Oh, wow.
Just unheard of. So you could email them. So I started drawing up like full story, like these 2-page backup story comics.
Yeah.
I'd write, pencil, ink, color, everything, and send them off. So I did 2, and by the second one, possibly the third one, they got back to me and they started using them. So it was the second one that I did was the first one that got published, which was an itchy and scratchy story. And then they started using them from then on. The other one was this, a hold up of, snake, the bad guy and Apu at the quickie.
Oh, yeah.
But if people don't believe me, I can't tell you how shitty my work was then and how off model it was. I swear it was like over time, I made this really conscious effort of I need to be better at drawing these characters and be more on model so I can get more work, right? Right. And I got this like How to Draw Simpsons book. It's an amazing book. It's really thick. And it's got all the characters and stuff like that. And that was like my Bible for like 8 years for when I was freelancing with them. But I don't know why they said yes. But I'm so thankful that they did. So and then after the first one was in, I had like two pages. I thought, what would be, is that worse? Would that be a tragedy if that was the only one that they actually used? You know, because but I just kept sending them and sending, like, I think, I don't know if you've seen on Facebook, I've been sharing the rough stories I ended up sending. Like, so I would send, I don't know how many, and then they might, if they decide to use it, they go, yep, they give me a contract, and then I draw it up. So I mainly backup stories. But being known as the Simpsons guy is something that I have run with. You know, but up until that point, no one had heard of anything I did. And the nice thing about working on something like Simpsons is it validates you as a creator, but also gives people the impression that you know what you're doing. It like, oh, that's something that, oh, yeah, well, you work for that, so you must be able to do this. So I've really tried to, you know, build on it. I mean, I work really, really hard and have just tried to make, grab onto any opportunity that kind of came my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
awesome. Thanks so much for sharing that story for the millionth and one time. No, it's cool. There's so many questions I could ask from that, and even the Tom Taylor bingo. I love that. That's so cool.
Oh yeah. One of the things was he goes, he would say, I wrote you if there was a cosplayer in one of these outfits, and I could tell you what, you know, what kind of like coffee he had and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just it's everybody, it's myself included. When you're in that situation, people, and also because. And I'm not demeaning this because people want to connect. Like, how do you connect with someone who that in some they're special to you in some way that they have been a part of a franchise, for instance, that you really like, or so I've been a guest lots of times. I remember, like, I don't know, I'm a big Star Trek fan. Do you know Star Trek?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
May the force be with you, right?
One of my first guest spots, I was at Oz Comic Con in Melbourne, I think.
Yeah.
And this guy, Armin Shimerman, was there, right? Armin Shimerman played Quark in Deep Space Nine, right? Oh, and he was kind of like the first like kind of famous person I ever saw in real life. I thought, oh my god! And I'm at this like VIP party thing that they do, and I couldn't even talk to him. I just like stared at him like a psycho, but all I wanted to do was like speak to like in. But what do you say to someone who this person means a lot to me? Your story's been a lot to me. Or besides, have you been to Australia before, or you know that kind of. But what was really interesting, it was nice, like I did it a couple of years further on. I've done some conventions in New Zealand, and he and his partner were there, and because you're a guest and you're on the guest bus, then you're instantly, you kind of like can get past that initial that fear, like that us and them kind of moment. And so that's been, and like we got to chat and all like this kind of stuff, and that was really nice that it's this kind of added bonus of being, I guess, a convention that you might get to chat to some people, but you're instantly kind of, you're on the bus team, okay, so you're not just a fan, you're over here. And I'm not explaining that very well, but that was that's been a really nice experience to meet like people who I'm really fond of, you know.
Yeah, look, I got to admit, when I did Supernova Gold Coast recently, I finally got, you know, I've met Tom Taylor a couple of times before, but, you know, my first time sort of on the playing field, you know, as appearing So I got to just, you know, briefly share a moment with him about my work and just give him props for his work. And I don't know, it was really nice, but at the same time, I was a little bit, a little bit starstruck of sorts, because, you know, like, I just hold him in high praise for his writing. And but I've had that with a few people, you know, in music and that as well, man. I'm just, yeah, it's, I guess it's just normal, isn't it? You know, and I think it's healthy to be that way.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think, you know, it's, I think we're, you know, I think it's encouraging. There's a lot of people I look at that I aspire to be like, or you go, oh, wow, I love the artwork, and, you know, that kind of thing. It's you know, a bit disheartening if they, you know, if they're crap people that when you finally meet them. But
yeah, and like, if I don't know, there's so much about you that's fascinating. I read that you did some art with Magda Szczepanski as well.
Yeah. So I'd done some stuff with Scholastic, which is the Scholastic Journal. Yes. I'd done a series, and they contacted me a few years ago now, and they said, "Oh, could you there's a famous Australian who is we've got working with us." They couldn't tell me who it was, and could we draw some pictures of an angry pony, right? And like, this is like, it's a famous pony. And there's this, like, there's a like one who's going to be their manager, and one's going to be their stalker, and this kind of thing. So I drew this up, and I didn't hear anything for like months. And I thought, oh, well, they must have got someone else in it. And then they came back to me, and they said, oh, yeah, so yes, this is a book series. We'd like you then to flesh this character out. This is going to sound really weird. For some reason, I had it in my head that the famous person was going to be Kamal.
yes.
And then, like, of all these famous Australians that I could possibly have thought of, who would write this book about a famous pony, I'm thinking it was Kamal. Apparently, though, no, it wasn't. It was Megan Zabansky.
Hey, the dream is still alive, man.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. So the book series is Timmy the TikTok Pony.
Yeah.
The series. I remember I've spent so much on the character design, because in some ways Timmy is the alter ego of Magda. So that's so no wonder if someone like said, "Oh, can you draw a character that's kind of the alter ego of me?" I'd be like struggling to, you know, to pick one. So I drew the first book, and then they said, "Oh, we want to have a meeting with you and Magda." And she had been up in Sydney, so they flew me up for this meeting. And I thought, "Oh my god, I must have really screwed up this book if I actually have to have a meeting."
Yeah.
But anyway, she was really lovely, very wildly intelligent, and also like really knows art, which
cool.
Yeah, I did know, like, you know, really well traveled and knew art really well. So she read, it's funny, so she read through, during the meeting, she read through the entire book out loud, like it was a play during all the character voices. It was pretty amazing. And then they gave me some changes. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, as far as changes goes. And there were some things, and in some ways I had to do some pushback on it, because Magda writes very much like it's a comedy thing, like, you know, you kind of, there's the setup and there's the payoff.
Sure.
But illustrations don't work that way. They're stagnant. So you need to have, you know, I needed to add extra illustrations for the gag to work, or basically say sometimes, okay, well, you can't really do that in this context. So it was an interesting experience. Comes out, it was amazing. But the problem is it came out right in the middle of the, like, basically the first lockdown of COVID for us down in Victoria.
Wow. So,
I think it sold well. We ended up doing 4 books. The story hasn't finished yet, so I'd love it if she came back to knock off another book, at least to finish it off. But they're ridiculously fun. And she was, and she was amazing. She recommended me for other work.
Good.
So it was, very cool experience.
So that seems like a bit of a bizarre experience, but, like, you know, like, you know, the company coming to you and saying, oh, we want you to draw these characters for a famous Australian. So straight away, you've got no sort of concept of who you're working with or anything. So you have no connection with the writer besides the source material, right?
So, well, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. And so it's a weird kind of thing. And certainly the character design that I did initially was nothing like the one that we ended up going with by the end. But yeah, so it's weird because it's interesting because, like, I met Magda, but often you don't meet the writer. Like, I did a graphic novel with a writer named Sarah Kahn. She's in the States with the Riverdale ones with
Flat. Oh, yeah.
And never met, never spoken, nothing. No emails exchanged, nothing.
Oh, wow.
And even with the Simpsons comics, so I freelanced with them for about 8 years, I think it was, in the end. And only right at the end, I went to San Diego and signed at the Bongo booth, which was really cool. And that was the first time I actually met my editor in person or spoke to them at all. Like, everything else was just email after 8 years of working with them. So, it's a funny little world. You can be very isolated in some ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just such a huge fan of connection, you know, like even if it's email, like just getting that sort of some form of connection that just gives you a bit of an idea where your head's at, you know, where you're at as creatively, you know, and when you don't have that, that must be, I don't know, it must be really challenging as a creator, right?
Yeah, look, in some ways it's kind of cool because as I mentioned before, being an introvert, like, if I don't have to make a phone call with someone, it's great. You know, I'm not, like, if, you know, so emails, I always think is perfect. You know, I'll send emails back. It means I can think about what I'm saying better. Yeah. Like, I need, I have a little bit of a disconnect between what I'm thinking and words that come out of my mouth. And by emailing them, at least I can kind of make that separation and think about that a little bit more, be a bit more succinct about what I want to say.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, now, like, you know, I'm often, you know, this thing I'm working on, I can't talk about what I'm working on at the moment, but one of the things at least at the moment is, the editor really likes to Zoom. So you're doing a lot of like, sort of Zooming conversations, you know.
Sure.
So yeah.
That's exciting, man. That's really cool. I've got this crazy picture in my head of you doing Kamal, something with Kamal.
Where's my Kamal book coming out?
That's what I'm like. Oh, dude, that's, man, I'm all in for that. Like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Dude, but man, like, I don't know, there's a couple of, I don't want to hold you up too long, but like, there's a couple of things I want to touch on. Like, I mean, you've worked with one of my favorite new books out, I Hate Fairyland. Absolutely love that book.
Yeah.
It's right up your alley in terms of your style and wit. How do opportunities like that go for you, like getting to work on books like that?
Yeah, that was really cool. So I don't know how it happened, right?
Well, I mean, you don't have to say how it happened.
This is the worst. All this like kind of like a young creators go, oh, so how did you get that? Yeah, so I
I guess I meant like more like just how it was getting, not so much how you got it, but how it was to be blessed with such an opportunity.
Yeah.
An exciting new book, right?
Yeah. Okay. So can I tell you both?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. How it happened, right? A few years ago, I was, I get a friend request from Scotty Young on Facebook.
Nice.
And I thought, oh shit, it's going up. Right.
Yeah. And, that's cool.
And he messaged me and said, oh, like, you know, it would be really cool. You know, would you consider doing a pinup, right? For I Hate Fairyland. Okay, oh yeah, of course. Now I think so. I've never actually asked him how it came about, how he found me, right? But I have a suspicion that this may not be correct. So I did a comic series called Itty Bitty Bunnies in Rainbow Pixie Candyland, and it's like
I love it already.
Yeah. So they're naked rabbits with their dicks out, and they're in a fantasy world, and they do a lot of drugs, right? Yeah, hedonistic of Europe. So I wonder whether that came up on his radar at some stage because of the similarity between Eye at Fairyland as a concept. Yeah. I'm not sure. Anyway, they're very different books. It just they both happen to have they're both set in a fantasy kind of world, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, and so they have adult themed. So hits me up as a I'd love to do a pin up. So I did a pin up and it was okay, it was fine. I look back and the pin up was in one of the books, and I think he was trying out because he then came back and said, "Would you be interested in doing an issue?" Drawing an issue. And I go, yeah, absolutely. And so occasionally when he was working on I Hat Fairyland, I think he just got swamped with so much work that he'll do a story that would allow for another artist to come in and kind of fill the majority of the book. So my one was kind of a flashback with Larry the Fly, imagining what it would be like in his world if Gert hadn't appeared. And it's actually quite a dark story in some ways. So busted that out and had an amazing time with it. I'm blanking on the colorist name who did this fantastic job. It was a great story. And then I thought, oh, that was great. I thought that was kind of it. So then he came back to me down the track and said, oh, I'm doing this Substack thing, and would you be interested in doing, I'm doing this thing called The Untold Tales of I Hate Fairyland. So the concept would be that I would write and draw these stories set in the Fairyland universe as, like, you know, kind of free range.
Mm.
And it was amazing. So this was... So I said, oh, yeah, you know, I'd love to. And I gave him a script. He said, yeah, great. He's very cool to work with, Scotty. He's, again, never spoken to him in person. I don't want to suggest to you that means Scotty Younger besties, but I think we have a nice working relationship.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. So good to work with. Anyway, so gave him a script. He said, yeah, great, go for it. I'm going to digress for just one second. I'm sorry.
No, you're right.
So I had just come off. I'd been working on Oggy and the Cockroaches. I had just come off this graphic novel where I'm aping other people's styles, right? A lot of my work seems to be being able to, if I can, copy other people's styles pretty well if it's cartoony enough, right?
Yeah.
So, and I'm going, oh, so... Would you like me to do it like... I was thinking about maybe doing like kind of like an Adventure Time kind of style. And he goes, no, I want your style. And it was just... it was like this black cloud had lifted. For months, I'd been doing... just aping other people's shit. And to be able to go, oh you want me to... okay, yeah. Like, I could really do that. So I ended up drawing three stories. The anthology is called The Untold Tales of I Hate Fairyland. There are five issues, and I'm in the first three.
That's so
cool. My first story is Don't Trust the PIG in Apartment 23, which is about the three little pigs and Gert. The other one is about, it's called The Hunchover. Gert wakes up with this huge hunchback and has to kind of trace her steps from the night before because she had a few drinks to try and work out what happened to her. And the other one, the third one, is called the Ballad of Sir Hanselot, who's this awful knight. And they're bloody and they're violent and it's, you know, just a blast to do.
Yeah.
So they're out. Hey, here's my plug. I'm not sure when this podcast comes out, but, you know.
It'll be pretty, pretty soon, actually.
Oh, well, hit my bookstores up to get The Untold Tales of I Hate Fairyland.
Cool. Well, that kind of leads me into something that I really, really want to talk to you about. Obviously, you're also a writer as well, as well as an awesome illustrator. And you created one of my favorite titles that I've heard to this day. Death metal emo
Elves. Yeah.
Right.
So So yeah, so Death Metal Emo Albums is a, so it's a young reader's book, but it's not a lot of writing in it, because I kind of write it like it's a, like each page is kind of like a panel, like a comic panel. So Death Metal Emo Albums, they're elves. Emo is the main character, Emo the elf, and in this world, in elf world, all the music is a polka, you know, with a piano accordion. You know, and there's little songs, I really love a polka, or a really that kind of thing.
Stuff of nightmares, right?
Yeah. And he has, and he just wishes there's like something more. And he goes to the piano accordion shop when his piano accordion breaks. But the guy there, Brad, the server, says like, no, you don't want that. You want this. And he introduces him to a guitar. And comedy ensues. You know, his grandmother introduces him to the concept of Elvish Paisley, who's used to the old rocker, and he discovers that elves used to rock, and so they're then set on forming a death metal band.
That's so cool, man.
it's bright, and it was funny. I send it off to all these publishers just as a script, and not get any takers. So I think it was last year or the year before. I started to draw it so I did a page a day, and continued to try to get publishers page a day. I think it was up to page somewhere like 76 of it, maybe more. Actually, I think it was more, but then I finally got a publisher they're called Redback, they're based in Sydney, and they're mainly an educational publisher.
Okay.
They mainly do, this is Adelaide. Adelaide has a population of blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
But they said yes to it, which I'm so thankful for. And
that's so cool.
When they said yes to it, so they wanted it as a series. So I've got, Death Metal Emo Elves is out. Death Metal Emo Elves and the Magic Pick of Awesomeness is done and dusted, and that comes out in August.
Nice.
And I've got the third one written called Lollipalooza, and that's I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to do that, because I've been really busy. I'm so thankful to have it out. It's very, very much me.
That's exciting, man. When you were putting that bad boy together, were you from a musical standpoint? Did you go and listen to some, death metal or emo music for that?
A little bit. I'm not. My guilty confession is I'm not a huge death metal fan. Yeah. I listen to music on a purpose normally. So when I'm drawing, I couldn't listen to death metal music.
Yeah, gotcha. It's very frantic.
I need to I will listen to basically the same music over and over again.
Yeah.
So I don't notice it.
Yeah.
You know, I love it. I need it, but I don't want to have it.
Yeah,
I just can't concentrate. I like ska music if I'm going to really, really.
Hell yeah.
If it's time to I'm doing some colors, I can ramp up my end of the day. That's what I like.
Yeah.
And as well as that, generalized pop.
Cool.
So, I just like the idea of the concept. And I just really wanted to make it. And so basically I wrote it for myself. So I'm hoping other people like it too.
Do you find that liberating, just doing a project like that for yourself, with no pressure, anything like that, on your shoulders?
Yeah, I felt like there was pressure, because I was saying, every day I would draw an illustration and say, I'm after a publisher, and by day 106, I felt kind of stupid. You know, you get really putting yourself out there, and even the same, even something like that, as personal as that, you always have to make compromises in some ways. Like the editor may not like something, or so I always feel like there's a certain amount of pressure. Anything I draw, I feel like there's pressure. I don't tend to draw for fun.
Yeah.
Even if I'm doing fan art that I'm putting on Instagram or something like that, there's a purpose behind that. I do it because I want to get some likes, and I want to get more followers, or blah, blah, blah. But I just, you know, if I, you know, I draw all day, so as far as fun wise, I would just, I don't know, watch some TV or, you know, have a red wine or something like that, you know. You know, some people like, so it's, for me, it's definitely therapy. Like, if I'm not drawing, I'm not happy. But I always feel like there has to be a purpose behind it. I'm not, it's not a pure, I'm just going to sketch for fun. It can be fun. And I'm really passionate about it, and it gives my life all this meaning and has given me these amazing opportunities that without drawing silly cartoons, I would never have had the chance to do.
Yeah.
So I'm really thankful for that, but I don't tend to do it for relaxation.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that ability to separate, you know. It's a lot of people, you'd be surprised, like, well, you're probably not surprised, but a lot of people don't have that functionality of that on-off switch of, you know, being able to just do one thing and then do another, you know.
I think you're getting the wrong impression because I can't really do that. I won't draw for fun, but there's definitely at 3 o'clock at night, I'm going, oh yeah, I could, this, that would be a cool phantom story.
Yeah.
That happens, you know, I have some trouble with that. And I do tend to, I have this thing that, ignore that, someone's at my door. I remember I was at a con and this father and son rock up and he illustrated my stuff, and he goes to his kid, you know, see that Joey or whatever his name was, like, you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And it's sweet, but it's just not true. I work all the time. Like, I have zero concept ability to not do that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. So I won't hold you up, but I just wanted to quickly touch on also, you do a lot of, I've seen you've done workshops with kids and school groups and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you enjoy doing things like that? Like, you know, talking to the next generation.
Yeah. So again, introvert. So I kind of about it. I was running it like a regular class for a while and hated it.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to do new things and stuff all the time. But what I do now, it's like a workshop, it's like an hour's workshop. And I really like it. It's very showy. You kind of like, I'm there. I can do better stick figures now. And we do this. And what they come up with is always surprising me. It always surprises me that, I would never have thought of this. This idea that this kid's
come up with. Because, I just think, like, sorry to interrupt there, but I'm just thinking, like, great way to, you know, especially if you're with, like, real young kids, like, breaking the ice with, you know, snot and fart jokes and stuff like that would just
Yeah, I think it's very, like, you know, because of my style, because the way I present it, it's very hands-on, but also I think it's achievable, you know? Like, we're going to draw facial expressions. So to do that, we've got to draw fruit and vegetables, right? So we do okay, how is this tomato feeling? Oh, he's angry, okay? How do your eyebrows go when you're angry? This kind of thing. So that you go from kids, and often parents who will draw along, which I love this as well, have some real hang-ups about their own stuff. But, I could draw an angry carrot, you know? And so I really like that, from this kind of being really hesitant to be able to go, oh, this is okay. It kind of looks like a dog. It looks like a dog enough that you can understand what the comic is. So I think that's like, it's not like, you know, you're not going to do a class with me and end up drawing like Alex Ross or Mark Raps. Like, that's like, you know, that's not going to happen. But will you have some fun? Will you discover that, okay, this is okay? I could tell a story about that. So that's kind of, I do like that a lot.
I think also, like, just the, I think, yeah, obviously, yeah, no kid's going to walk in and think they can draw like Alex Ross or Mark Ratz, obviously, or even Dean, for that matter. But I think it's the idea of just putting that thought in a kid's head that's never really considered it, or maybe they've thought about it, but the idea that they could do it.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing feeling, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting for someone who dislikes that kind of public speaking stuff. I do get a lot out of it. And
that's so cool.
And also financially, it's really good. Like, you know, because so I mix basically what I do up. Like, I have a part-time job for 12 hours a week.
Yep.
I illustrate books. I draw comics. So I write. I do conventions, obviously, and I run these workshops. And I'm having the busiest year that I've ever had this year.
With all
the above. And that's been really nice. It makes you feel like, because it can be so hit and miss as a freelancer. You know, it's like I haven't had anything last year, and then the sort of nice things are happening this year. So it's like this payoff, I think, in some ways.
Well deserved, man. So congrats, man. That's awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's cool. And I mean, obviously, you know, when you've got some free time in there, do you still find yourself, you know, sneaking in a few cat videos to watch as well?
Oh, of course. You know, yeah. And yeah, if anyone like follows my Facebook or Instagram, you'll get cat videos in your feed.
I love it, mate. I love it. Well, Dean, I won't take up any more of your time, mate. I just wanted to say it's just been an absolute pleasure chatting here and, yeah, just sharing some happy days with you, man. It's fantastic.
Thank you. So, yeah. And I'm going to see you up north soon, am I right?
100%, dude. Yeah. We're going to be hanging out, man. So, it's always a blast when I see familiar faces at cons. And, you know, like I'm still figuring stuff out myself as a creator, but it's always inspiring being around people like you, man. So, yeah, I just want to say thank you and keep up the good work, man.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yeah, man. Well, this episode will be out soon, and thanks. Happy days with me. And cheers. We'll do this again maybe sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers, man. All the best.
See you, mate.
Bye.
And that concludes my chat with Dean Rankine, absolute legend of a guy. I really love chatting to him and just such a cool dude to talk to, man. And if you haven't checked out his work, go follow him on the socials. He's there. He's a lovable kind of guy. His cat videos are hilarious and his artwork is exemplary. So yeah, show the man some love. And while you're at it, show this podcast some love. If you haven't hit the like and subscribe button, do it. I know it sounds very common on these podcasts that you listen to, but man, the support goes a long way. And if you go that one step further on whatever podcast platform you're listening on, give it a 5-star rating and leave a positive review, of course. It'll just help people find this podcast as well, because there's some really good chats here. I really strive to get the kind of chats where it's, you know, very motivating and inspiring for people, whether they're, you know, like-minded in the particular field that of discussion, or they're just people just, you know, passing time and just looking for a little bit of pep in their step. I feel like this show strives to be that show. So I appreciate the support. And I hope that you'll all come back and listen to the next episode, because there will be another episode. As you know, I've started adding to the Happy Days podcast with a little bit of extra something-something with my pal, Jake Reddy, who we speak, on the Rad podcast and Freaky Fridays, and I've invited him on this platform to talk more about the music that we love. So, yeah. Bit of extra fun for you all. Anyway, I hope you all have a great week or day or night, whatever time of day or week it is that you're listening to this on, and may it be filled with positivity and just happiness, man. Be happy. Take the time to be kind to that person that you haven't spoken to in a while and reach out to them and say good day. It's really important that we connect with people, and I'm glad that Dean and me were able to connect and talk about connecting. And I think it's important that we as people take a bit more time to, you know, connect and, you know, stay in touch with one another. Like, reach out to your friends, say g'day. It doesn't have to be like a prolonged, you know, week-long conversation or anything. Just like, yeah, just drop a line and say, hey man, how you doing? Just checking in on you. That actually goes a long way with people. You'd be surprised. So, you know, take the time to be kind, and good karma will follow, right? Anywho, on that note, I'm out of here. I've been Jesse. You've been amazing. And till then, have yourselves a happy day.